on the air, so you can just begin what you said, you know, hitting all three muscle cellular groups there in order to attain maximum growth for any muscle.
It's my opinion that 90% of the people out there either overtrain or do the same thing over and over and over again. They train, and it falls to all of us. Even the professional bodybuilders and world-class powerlifters get into the same rut, right, of training with the same weights, the same exercises day in, day out. Okay, the body, in order for it to grow, you have to constantly change something. You got to change the speed of the movements. You got to change the reps that you're doing, or you got to change the weight that you're doing. And I've seen guys in this club and everywhere else go in, train, pyramiding their sets, starting out warming up, go up, say for bench 135, 225, 315, and they do one set of 405 and stop. And then they'll go to their inclines, command eye presses, and do the same thing over again.
We're interviewing Kenneth Lane. In the world.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's in my opinion, the whole ideal of bodybuilding and powerlifting, the basic thing that most of the people want, especially the younger people, is to gain muscle size. Okay. In bodybuilding, you've got illusion. You know, you've got how cut you are, and how the body sympathizes with the other body parts and stuff. All makes it look, you know, bigger, okay, but the basic ingredient is the myofibrillar, all the regular fibers in the muscle, increasing the size of those. Okay, now there's three different ways to increase the size of the muscle, but the basic one would be increasing the size of the fibers themselves. You're born with so many fibers and you die with so many fibers, okay? Contrary to old belief where you tore your muscle down and then it built back more cells and therefore built back more fibers, that's not the way it works. You can take a fiber and say...
That is not the way it works?
That's not the way it works. The way it is when you were born, you've got as many fibers in your muscles right now as you had when you were born, okay?
And that's how
you
die?
You'll die with that same amount. But we can take a fiber, basically, now this is how I'm going to pick it up, that looks like that and turn it into a fiber that looks like this through heavy training, okay? Now, if you took, I hope you can remember this, on this, if you took a muscle group, say the bicep, and you looked at it, took a microscopic view of it, basically what you would see is all these little fibers here, okay? Now, the way most people train, pyramiding their sets, okay, they're only bringing in a certain amount of fibers per set. Only as many fibers will contract as need be to move a set amount of weight, okay? So let's take the bicep. And you can do a one-arm, one-time bicep curl of 100 pounds, a strict 100-pound curl, okay, one time. In that motion, every one of these fibers would contract to move that weight from A to B, okay, all right? That's not the way people train, though. They'll start out, they'll warm up on a bicep, and let's say their max, that they can do a 100-pound weight for us one time, they'll start out maybe with 30s and do a set of 8. Then go up to 45s and do a set of 8, and then go up to 60s or 70s, okay, and do a set of 8. That last set is the only set that did anything to make the muscle grow, but they've already fatigued all these other fibers down here through training with a lot of weights, okay? go in, one size to the maximum heavy weight, a weight that you can handle relatively with good form, 6 to 8 reps, max, okay? Anything less than, I would say, 3 or 4 reps is not going to do anything for muscle size, okay? Now, it does help a little bit on the strength part, but we're talking about building mass here, okay? The number of sets, you got guys out there that will do 20 sets per body part, okay? And after they're through, they're fatigued, surely. Endurance and stamina training, you know, that type of fatigue. When you train with a weight to build size, but you don't get that big, massive pump feeling. A lot of people live and die the pump, live and die the pump. They think the pump is what makes the muscle big, but that's not the case. A true workout that's really attacked all the muscle fibers will give you a different type of fatigue. It'll give you a fatigue as if you had worked all day, okay, that kind of fatigue versus a pumped up, high rep, high intensity workout, okay? It's a different type of fatigue then. It doesn't take as many sets to train that way. This builds the basic fibers. That's what turns this fiber from here to here, okay? So I'd say
That's when you go from doing that initial warm-up set straight to that real heavy weight.
If it was me, warm up, do your regular warm-ups on your bench press, and go into 3 sets of the same heavy weight. Do not pyramid any more sets after that. Say you want to go to another chest exercise, I would say 12 total sets for big body parts, no more than 9 total sets for small body parts. Okay? You go from chest to, say, shoulders. Okay? All right, we're going to do 3 sets of shoulder presses with a max weight that we can handle maximally for the first set 8 times. Plenty of rest, right? Take plenty of rest, and we're going to try to do a set of 8 on the second set. If we only get 7, that's fine, okay? Then we're going to try a set of 8 on our third set. After, and I'm talking rest intervals from 5 to 8 minutes in between sets.
That long?
Minimal, okay?
That long?
Right, you have to. The we're not bodybuilding training here. We're training for basic mass, and your body, some another, have trained similar to this. If all bodybuilders would add some powerlifting into their routines, they would find that they're a lot stronger and a lot more dense than what they are today. But before, it's just like building a house, okay? You got to lay the foundation, okay? And we're laying the foundation right now. We're making those fibers big, okay? You got to have that before you can cut the muscle up and make it look pretty. Now, there's 2 other ways to train for size, but there's also, and like you're building your house, you wouldn't build a house and then pour the foundation. You know, that'd be dumb, okay? It's a long way about going around doing it. But the basic way to train for mass is, I would say, cycle your training, a 10-week cycle of training of heavy weights, 12 total sets, max 12 total sets. And most people, you know, are going to hit somewhere in the 9 to 10 range for big body parts, and 6 sets for your small body parts. That's what I would recommend for most people, and that's not counting warm-ups. That's true heavy sets.
Okay, but just hitting it as heavy as you can, though, right? I mean, if you are going to do, you know, a lower amount of sets for body parts like that, then you got to make sure you really do bomb them on the sets that you do.
If you train this right, if you train like I'm saying right, you won't want to do any more sets. You won't want to do it. It's you'll be so fatigued that you definitely will not want to do any more sets. You can train harder, or you can train smarter. Me being the lazy individual that I am, I want the most results out of the least amount of work, okay? And that's how I would go about doing it, okay? But then after that, you know, after you've got these muscle fibers pretty much to the max size that you can have, there's never is a max of how big you can get those fibers. But let's say you've done 10 to 20 weeks of this type of training, and let's say you're having a, you know, inevitably train with heavy weights all the time, you're going to start having elbow problems, shoulder problems, low back problems, knee problems, just because the body's not made to train with maximum weights all the time, okay? Now, let me back up just a minute and say another thing about the heavy training. You've got to go up on your weights, and I would say 5% per week, okay? Now, that's on a 4-day split workout, on a 4-day workout, 5 max. If you're doing 5 days a week, that'd be doing heavy legs on Wednesday itself. Let's say Monday, Tuesday is heavy day, okay? And Wednesday, if you can't do back, doing back and legs together is tough. So we're going to do heavy day Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, okay? Heavy day, we're going to do chest, shoulders, triceps on Monday, okay? Heavy chest, shoulders, and triceps. Tuesday, we're going to do heavy back and biceps. Then Wednesday, we're going to do heavy legs, okay? All right, now we've got our heavy days out of the way. We're through with heavy weights for that whole week. The body can't stand, cannot recuperate from two heavy training days a week. It can't do it, I guarantee it. Okay, so Thursday and Friday are going to be light days. Same exercises, basically, but less time rest in between sets and no more than 80% of the weight that you used on heavy day, okay? You go for form, strict movements, and all you're doing is pumping that area up with blood, getting the old gunk and stuff out.
How much would you have them rest, since you said 6 to 8 minutes minimum?
On heavy days, I would say 5 to 8 minutes minimum rest in between sets. On light days, move through your workout, no more than 3 minutes of rest in between sets. Because you're not using, now this is tying bodybuilding in with powerlifting, which is what I do, okay? That's why I have a physique similar to a bodybuilder, but still have the strength of a powerlifter, okay? I'm not training with heavy weights. A lot of powerlifters, the world-class powerlifters, will only train 3 days a week, you know? But all three of those days are heavy. They're not worried about making their muscles look pretty or putting out vascularity. They're not worried about the muscularity look. You know, they want strength, and that's all they're interested in. Myself and most people want to be strong, but they want to have a good physique at the same time. And training in this manner, you can get the both. Or you can get the best of both. See? So, and it ties in with each other. You've got those heavy days, those first three heavy days, and those other days are light. Okay. And that's the basic way. The best way to train for basic muscle mass. Strength and size kind of come hand to hand in that way, okay? And you've got two other components of a cell. You've got the mitochondria and the sarcoplasm, okay? Mitochondria is the part of the cell that, it's not the feebler part, it's the part that brings in water around the cell itself, the little water nuclei around the cell itself. Now that's the way most people train.
Kind of like a membrane.
Right. It's a moderate training. It still hits the fibers, but it only hits so many. Sure, as you train with lighter weights, these fatigue out and then these come into play. And then these fatigue out and these come into play, okay? But it's not the best way to train for fibular size, okay? Alright? We're talking about the mitochondria part of the cell now, which pushes water and stuff in between the nuclei of the cell that makes up the cells that make up the muscles themselves, that make up the muscle fibers themselves, okay? Moderate training, you know, somewhere around 10 to 15 reps, the way most people train, okay? But with a lot less rest in between sets, okay? This can be, you can do this, you know, say you do a 10-week cycle of heavy training, then you can take 4 to 6 weeks of training like this and kind of recoup, the joints kind of recoup, okay? And then you can hit the sarcoplasm and the vascular bed itself. The vascular bed itself within a muscle accounts for as much as 10% of the muscle's total size, okay?
What is that number?
The vascular bed itself, okay? That's the veins and stuff. You can take a vein that looks like this right here, and through training with high reps, slow continuous tension, you know, I'm not talking bam, bam, bam reps like that, I'm talking real slow continuous tension throughout the movement, you can change a vein to basically a capillary that looks like this into a capillary that looks like this, okay? Now what happens there when you're training like that, okay? Of course, more vitamins and nutrients can get through a vein this size than what it can a vein this size. So it decreases recoup time that you can train, you know, your muscles. More nutrients and stuff are going to get to the cells and they're going to get fed and recuperate faster through this size vein than what they are. That vein, that's just common sense, okay? But you've seen your bodybuilders and stuff with veins as thick as your thumb and run through their arm and stuff. What has made that do that is the real high intensity training, okay? The high rep, slow continuous tension, you know, pumping the dog shit out of that muscle itself. Filling that area with blood. That's the pump now that everybody lives for. But you're only getting, you know, as much, well, you're only adding to the vascular bed. Of course, there's a sarcoplasm part, which is a different part of the cell that also pulls in blood, gunk, and junk into the muscle itself, and it takes up space in between the fibers themselves. Okay? So together, it can count, you can add as much as 30% more size to that muscle area by just training that way, but it does nothing really for strength. It does, however, you know, create a leverage advantage, okay? But as far as the muscle itself being strong, it doesn't really do anything for that. But it does allow the joints and the tendons a chance to increase in strength versus what the muscles are. The muscles will get stronger than the tendons. You know, that's been proven. That's why you see people tearing pecs, pulling tricep tendons loose and all that kind of thing. It's because of heavy training all the time, or not warming up properly before the heavy training. Okay. Mm-hmm. The high rep training, you should cycle your training. It takes away the boredom and the monotony of doing the same thing all the time, which is what 90% of the intermediate lifters do anyway. You know, they may train 6 days a week, but they do the same way all the time, the same way.
Let's say you do that, the first part of this interview, when you talk about how to work out, you know, real heavy and all, and you do that for 10, 15 weeks, and then you go to this other type of training that you just got through talking about. When you move into that second phase of training, are you going to lose any size doing that?
You won't lose any size, okay, but you'll lose a little bit of strength, of course, okay? The body goes through peaking cycles, all right? It can't stay in peak condition all the time. It's just like a baseball player, a pitcher, okay? You have a pitcher throwing a ball all the time, okay? And when he plays a baseball game, he throws the ball for 9 innings all out, okay? You won't see him practicing the rest of the week, throw it all out. He'll be going out throwing lightly. If he did, he would throw his arm from him out. So your training is basically the same way. That's why you train heavy only once a week. That's all the muscle will take. That's all the muscle can handle itself. The best thing I could tell people is to use their head, you know, use their brain, concentrate on the muscle they're working. Most of this is common sense, you know, if you just think about what you're trying to do. You've got guys out there that got this set way that they do their workouts and this set number of sets that they do it and a set number of weights or a set amount of weight that they use in their sets. And they will use that day in, day out. We as human beings resist change, okay? We resist change and we don't like it, but you have to have change for the body to continue to improve. Again, like I was telling you a minute ago, you've got to change the speed of the movement, the amount of the weight, or the number of reps. Okay.
Or all three,
right, that's right. You know, you can incorporate all three ways of training too, you know, but it's better to cycle your training because it takes away the boredom and the monotony, you know, doing the same type of training all the time. If you train heavy all the time, I mean, you can't go up 5% every time you train. You can't do that, okay, because the body will eventually peak, and that's all you're going to get. If I was doing a 10-week cycle, I would start out with 10 reps at a rate that's all I could handle for 10 reps. Then I would drop a rep per week, but go up 5%.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, drop
and,
a rep.
And as
rep
a result of training like that, you get bigger.
You get a lot more size and strength, basic muscle size, basic fibular muscle size.
And before you're talking about increasing it by 30%, how much will this increase it by?
You know, strength-wise or size?
Size-wise.
Size-wise, you got... it'll only account for as much as 30, 35, maybe 40% of the total muscle size. Now, I know you're going, well, golly, if that's all I'm going to get out of it, that's got to be a better way to train. But again, like I was telling you a while ago, those other two ways to train account for the other part. But this is the best way to start out training. It only counts for 35 to 40% of the total muscle size overall, okay? That's why your powerlifters are stronger individuals. I mean, they're stronger than bodybuilders, but they're not as big. Their arms aren't as big and their legs aren't as big because they're basically training that one area. But that is the basic area. That is the most important area. That is the foundation of your house, okay? Then you go in and you do the finish out work. You lay your foundation, you build your frame, and then you go inside and you do all the little nice things, put up the lights and the sheetrock, and you blow the sewage and you lay the carpet and all that stuff. But what had to be done to that house first? That foundation had to be laid. And the foundation is the fibular part of the muscle, okay? That's what you need to increase first, okay? Then you can increase those other parts afterwards.
Okay. Well, see, what I'm trying to do here in this book is give them a whole system to follow. So let's make that the first part.
Okay, let's make that the first part. It's like a 10-week training cycle, heavy weights, going up 5% per week.
Okay.
And they say it's going to be a 5-day-a-week workout max. Okay, Monday, we got chest, shoulders, and triceps. Okay? Okay, we're going to take a weight that we can handle maximum for one set, 10 reps in each set. All sets have to be done with good form. Okay? All right, we're going to do bench press for warm-up, and then we're going to do 3 sets of 10 of heavy bench press. Then we're going to go to flat flies, no pyramiding, weights right to the heavy weight for 3 sets of 10. Then we're going to go to weighted dips, okay, for 3 sets of 10. And then we're going to go to tricep pushdowns for 3 sets of 10. Then we'll go to shoulders. Okay, now, if the shoulder is the weakest link between, use your bench press. Okay, use your bench press as a gauge. If you're having trouble with lockouts, you're going to be having trouble with your triceps, okay? Train your triceps first after the chest if that's a problem. If you're having a problem with explosion off of the chest, a lot of shoulder is involved in that, so I would train shoulder first. Myself, I train triceps first and do shoulders last. Shoulders, the way that I'm built, the way my muscle tie-ins are, shoulders get a lot of rep for my presses and flies and my dips. Then I'm going to tricep pushdowns for 3 sets of 10. Then I would go to 3 sets of behind-the-neck press for a set of 10. And that's it. Okay? That's all.
It doesn't sound like very much.
But
there's no other, shoulder exercise that you do besides behind
the neck? Not on a heavy day. That's the basic movement.
Okay?
The basic movement. Okay? Now, then we're going to come in Tuesday, and we're going to train back and biceps. Okay? And we've got back. So what we're going to do is do deadlifts. Now, if you're a powerlifter, do deadlifts. If you're not interested in powerlifting, do T-bar rowing or one-arm dumbbell rowing, but pick a basic exercise, okay? And we're going to say
deadlifts. Let's say bent over rows.
Okay,
let's say, most of these guys are bodybuilders.
Okay, most of these guys are just wanting size. Myself, I use high lat pull-downs, okay? Mm-hmm. I use high lat pull-downs as my basic back exercise, okay?
Is that behind the neck or in front?
That's to the front, arching the back, pointing the chest to the bar. Behind the neck, behind the head, tends to put more bicep on there. You want to pull the lats. Shoulders back is what the lats do. The lats' job is to pull the shoulders from here to there, okay? So that's why we point our chest up with the bar. We start by pull to here, and we crunch our back at the bottom. Not necessarily touch the bar to the chest. You don't have to do that. That's, you know, that's just something you see a bodybuilder or somebody don't know what they're doing do. You know, that moving on down here is not really a whole lot of back. Just get on down there, and when you feel that bottom position, squeeze the back. You don't have to come on down with the biceps and pull the bar to the chest. That's not important. But we're going to do, again, 3 sets of 10 after warm-up of heavy weights, okay? Then we're going to go to 3 sets of 10 of seated rowing. And then we'll go to 3 sets of 10, this is a very important exercise, of dumbbell pullovers, okay? Dumbbell pullovers for 3 sets of 10. And then we will go to biceps. Right after that, we'll go to biceps, okay? Now, see, most, that's only 9 sets for upper back. Now, if you want to strengthen the lower back, too, you do need to do stiff leg deadlifts or deadlifts or good mornings. Add one of those in there for 3 sets of 10 for lower back exercise. I personally don't do it, but I recommend it, okay? All right? Then, so let's say 3 sets of 10 of stiff leg deadlifts. Just for the back, for the low back. Okay, so now we've got 12 total sets in for the back. Then we go to biceps. We're going to do 3 sets of 10 reps with just straight barbell curls. Okay? All right, then we're going to do 3 sets of 10 reps incline dumbbell curls. And that's it. That's all. Okay? Now, Wednesday, we're going to do legs only. And, of course, we're going to do squats. And we're going to do 3 sets of 10 squats after warm-up. Then we'll do 3 sets of 10 of leg presses, heavy weights. Weights that you can, once you get that 10th rep, you just about failed out. And you should only get number 9. You should only get 8 or 9 on your 3rd set of everything in here. Okay? And that's it. All right, that's only 6 sets for legs. I know it don't sound like very much, but you do it like this right here, you grow.
Where do
we're interested in growing, we're not interested in doing a whole lot of work. We want to do these sets, these minimal sets right, so that we don't gain mass, and we ain't gonna worry about it no more. Okay, then we come in Thursday. Now this is light day for chest, shoulders, and triceps, okay? Now I change the training up a little bit, okay? I do incline. Incline bench press for 3 sets of 10. Then flat flies for 3 sets of 10.
Now how much weight should they use on that incline?
80% of what's used on heavy day on incline, it should be a weight that you can handle relatively easy. No weight on light day should take you to failure. You're going
For the movement.
You're going for the movement and pumping the blood. And rest again between these sets is no more than 3 minutes. You move quick, okay? We're doing flat flies for 3 sets of 10. And superset them with incline dumbbell presses.
Okay, you're supersetting the flat flies with incline dumbbell
presses? Mm-hmm. And incline dumbbell presses for 3 sets of 10. That's non-stop. Flat flies, 3 sets of 10, incline dumbbell presses, 3 sets of 10, non-stop, okay? Then we move to triceps.
Okay, okay. Let me get something straight here.
Okay.
Okay, flat flies.
Flat flies supersetted with incline dumbbell press.
Okay, so you do 10 flat flies.
You need to straight.
Okay.
Then you pick up another set of dumbbells and you'll go to an incline bench for incline dumbbell presses.
Okay, and then you rest 3 minutes?
No more than 3 minutes.
Okay. And then you do the same thing
over
again.
Do the same thing again. Right. I would try to get the rest intervals down to where it's nonstop. That's what I would try to do. When I say 3 minutes, then that's max.
But that's on your light day, doesn't it? Tend to exhaust you too much?
It does exhaust you, but it does in a different way. You're not straining the muscle fibers themselves. You're not straining. You're not putting a strain on them, okay? We did that on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Okay.
That's when we put the real strain on
them. So what will this do?
This right here is in combining this other type of training in with your workout, okay? Now, once you put I'll get to the other point here just a second. Let me outline the workout first.
Okay.
Okay, for triceps, we're going to go to triceps. We're going to do a tricep push down, tricep kick back, and tricep push down with a rope, okay? Tricep push down, hands on top, tricep push down with a rope, pull the rope out at the bottom, and kick backs, okay? 3 sets of 15 to 20 reps, non-stop, okay? Blow your triceps up. I mean, it'll fill it up with blood, and you get that mighty pump that everybody cries and wants, okay? But now we're using extremely light weights here, okay, good form. It's non-stop, okay? That's it for the triceps. Then we move to shoulders, okay? We do lateral raises, front raises, and rear lateral raises. Okay, hit all 3 heads of the belt, 3 sets of 10, non-stop, okay? Non-stop. We'll pump the delts to oblivion. Okay, takes them way off of there, okay? You feel like you're blowing from up, okay? But again, we're not using a weight heavy enough to tax that fibular part, okay? This is a light day training regimen, okay? The weights are not heavy enough. No more than 80%. No more than 80%. That doesn't mean that you can't use 80% when you're supersetting. You're going to have to drop on down to around probably 60-65% of the maximum weights that you use on heavy day to do these exercises, okay? Okay, then we're going to move to Friday. Okay, now, on light day, you can train legs together with your back, okay? You can do that together. A lot of people can't do heavy legs on heavy back day. So that's why they moved it to Wednesday. If you've got enough stamina, which if you're doing them right, you probably won't, you can go ahead and do those squats and leg presses after you do your back and bicep workout on that day. If the legs are weak, though, I do them on a day by themselves. Friday, we're going to do back. We're going to do high lat pull downs. 3 sets of 10. We're going to do seated rowing, 3 sets of 10. We'll do dumbbell dumbbell rowing, one-arm dumbbell rowing for 3 sets of 10. And then we will do good mornings for 3 sets of 10. Okay. And then we'll go to biceps. Okay. I would run the rack. That's what I like to do. Start out with a heavy weight. Let's say, like we do us here, you're going to do 3 sets, superset of 80 by 10, 50 by 15, and 30 by 30. It's basically what you're using nonstop. This will blow your arms to crazy. Then we'll go to a preacher curl, preferably with a stack, okay, and we'll run the rack. And we'll start out with, say, 70 pounds till you fail. We'll drop it 20 pounds at a time, 50, 30, 10, until you fail. Non-stop.
Okay.
And I do 2 sets of that. Basically line, but you go to failure on each one, okay? Okay, then on legs, we move to legs, and we're going to go leg presses.
Now, this is a light day?
This is light day.
Okay.
This will kill you. Leg presses, front squats, and leg presses. We're going to do leg presses for legs, front squats for 3 sets of 20 reps non-stop. Now if you think you're a man, you can add in lunges with that. 10 to each side, which would be 20. Then we'll go to leg extension and leg curl. 3 sets of 15 non-stop. Okay. Then we go to calves, and it's only there that I train calves, believe it or not. It's on live day. High reps, we're going to do 3 sets of 10, no, excuse me, 3 sets of 20, non-stop, standing calf raises with super, with seated calf raises, super set with seated calf raises, non-stop, one right to the other, right to the other.
What? Hey, Kenneth, now somebody, I mean, like a guy like me who has no calves whatsoever, he's going to need to work a little more than that, isn't he?
Okay, a guy that doesn't have any calves, in my opinion, forearms and calves have to be trained to high reps, really, really have to blow them up. Now, I've trained with heavy weights on the calves for around 8 to 10 reps, but never really got any size. The only size that I've ever put on my calves is with a relatively heavy weight, and, you know, not lightweight. You know, I use 250 pounds on the standing calf, which is light, but to some people it'd be heavy. But I'd use 250 there, and then on the seated calf, the Icarian seated calf, I'd use maybe 345-pound plates, okay, for 3 sets of 20 nonstop. Okay, that would be, and that's pointing the toes straight forward. I don't believe in this turning the feet this way and turning the feet that way. Just keep the toes pointed straight. If the guy's calves are really weak and he wants to bottom them, he can do these on his heavy day too. But heavy weights for forearms and calves, I've never seen anybody really get a lot of growth out of. The growth out of the forearm, see, the calf is flexed every time you walk. And the forearm is flexed every time you pick up a pen, you pick your nose, or bite your fingernails. You know, the forearm is flexed. You know, it's constantly being flexed. And so is your calves when you're walking. So it's going to take a lot of high intensity to make those two muscle groups grow. That's why they're hard to build. Because you can train, especially in the legs, all the legs, a person's heart or drive, let me not say heart, you misinterpret that, your drive or your discipline will run out before the legs truly run out, okay? Because it hurts like hell, you know? But the thing about the legs is they're big enough and they're strong enough. Calves, quads, hams, all of them are big enough and strong enough to keep on pushing. You know,
really?
Keep on pushing. You can, you know. People quit way before they can really keep going. And it'll take an advanced lifter to make himself go on past that pain barrier. When we're using light weights, okay, when we're using light weights and we're supersetting stuff, you're not going to hurt yourself. You're not using a heavy enough weight to pull something, okay? That's not going to happen. You might puke, but that's the worst thing that's going to happen. You might pass out even, but that's the worst thing that's going to happen to you. The legs burn oxygen at such a high rate, okay? And that's where people lose the drive and the desire and the discipline to train this body part, okay? But high reps can really add size to legs, big time, you know.
Now that doesn't hold true for like the other body parts you talked about?
The other body parts, you might see everybody's body is a little different, okay? You know, you got white fibers and red fibers, okay? You got slow twitch and fast twitch muscles. The way that I'm setting up the training routine here will work for everybody, okay? Because we've got our low rep heavy training at the first of the week and our high rep high intensity training at the end of the week, which is basically hitting, you know, pretty much all three components of the muscle cell itself, and it gives you a good dick physique along with a muscular physique. If you combine this training right here with diet, you'll be very, very strong, and you'll look very, very good too. I mean, as a matter of fact, there's no reason why a man can't bodybuild with the same routine and powerlift with the same routine, provided he's doing deadlifts on back then instead of high lat pull downs, which is what we're doing. But I understand what you're saying. You know, people say a person's got, some people just aren't going to genetically have the fibers in the cast to build big calves. They just ain't going to have. Genetics plays a major role in it. You can improve your physique no matter who you are. You know, if you're Joe Silly over here that had Fred Flintstone for his daddy and Oprah Winfrey for his mother, don't print that. You know, there's not a whole lot we can do for the guy. You know, it's really make him a great bodybuilder or a great powerlifter, but he can drastically improve his physique and his strength, you know, through this type of training.
Okay.
You know, it's we're not going to make a Superman out of a normal man, you know, but we'll take that normal man and make him a good built man. We'll take a normal built man and make him a good built man. We can take a good built man that's got the genetics and make him a Superman, okay? But the genetics are going to have to be there first. That's the main thing. And then along with that, you've got to have desire and discipline. That's something that most people don't have. You know, you've got guys out there with great genetics that are in the gym maybe once or twice a week, if that often. You know, and when they train, they're training their mouth more than they're training their body. Then you've got these little guys out here that will never have shit. You know, I mean, they ain't never going to be big. They just ain't going to be. They haven't got the bone structure. They got a sucking chest. Their shoulders are built like a pear. They got little shoulders and big old wide hips. There's nothing we can do for the bone structure. All the muscle tightness. Nothing we can do. But we can take that guy that looks like a pear and make him a thick-looking pear at the very least, you know. That's, you know, I wasn't going to print that or not. So
nah,
you,
I mean,
that's the way it is, you know. It's a shame, but the guys that have the most discipline seem to be the ones that probably aren't ever going to be great, you know. The ones that have the really awesome discipline are the ones that probably never do a shit. But we can improve them drastically through weight training, you know. We got a kid out here that's got a sunken chest, you know, he's just born where his chest goes in, you know, and his belly pooches out, you know. I mean, we're never gonna have a massive chest on this guy, ever. You know, we'll have to do implants or something, you know, to do him any good. But he's got a vascular physique, you know. Man, he's got veins running everywhere. And, you know, we make him look good that way. But basically, you know, basically, I'd say, you know, 75-80% of your people can be, you know, in a level 3 bodybuilding contest at least, you know, at that point.
Okay, after they do this kind of training, they'll be at the end of 10 weeks or so?
Okay, now here's the thing here. I outlined this training. Okay, let me back up and say, on the heavy days, we started out with 3 sets of 10 reps. On heavy days, we want to go up 5% at least on the basic movements, okay? which would be your bench press, your squats, and for our back that we're training the way that I'm training, will be high lat pull downs.
And then shoulder press maybe for sure?
Yeah, right. Shoulder press, I wouldn't even say. Shoulders get so much work out of most people from a bench press. But we want to go up 5%, let's say, on everything.
Okay.
Right? Let's just start out going up 5% on everything and dropping the rep. Okay. So at the end of 10 weeks, you're going to be coming in and doing one rep. You're going to be maxing out in 10 weeks.
Oh, really?
So let's say that a person is starting out with a 100-pound bench, 5% at 10 weeks, he's going to add 50% to that. He's going to be doing a max 150 bench at the end of the training cycle.
Okay.
That's what he's going to be doing, a single with 150. But if that person's only using 100 pounds for 10 reps, his max bench was probably only 120 anyway. Because he should be starting out something you can't, you know, it's hard to handle three sets of 10.
Okay. Okay, and then slide into what kind of training after the 10-week?
Okay, after the 10-week training, I would just incorporate your light training in with your heavy days, not the high intensity part, but more a lighter rate, and just kind of let the body recuperate, okay? You know, back up and just train moderately, like 95% of people train all their life, you know. Use some weights, change up the exercises, do all those pretty machines out of the gym, try them out for 4 weeks, you know, try some cable flies, try some big deck flies. You know, there's some of those neat little machines out there that you don't ever use that don't do you any good anyway for muscle size. Use some of those for those 4 weeks and let the body recoup from that 10 weeks of heavy training and then reschedule it, okay? Let's say we're starting out, let's say this guy maxed out with on his bench press, let's say he maxed out last time at the end of his 10-week cycle, he maxed out with 100 pounds. Let's take another max at the end of take another max at the end of that 4-week layoff or 6-week layoff. Everyone's not layoff, but a different type of training. Take another max and let's add 10% to that max, okay, and start all over at the bottom of the program. We're in the single out and back into it. In other words, he's having a 400 bench press. Okay, let's add 10% to that and go for a 440 bench press next time.
Okay.
And back out. Put your 440 at the 10th week and back out 5% per week, 95, 90.
And then over the training like this, progressively you'll increase through the years. And
sure you will.
Bigger and bigger.
Exactly right. You may not always be able to add 10%. You know, pretty soon there's going to come a time when we're talking 5%. You know, we'll add 5% to it, then we'll go back and train like that. But for the first year or 2 years, you will continually make those 10% gains, which will take a 300-pound bench pressure up to around 450, 500 pounds, you know, over a two-year period of time. If he trains consistently and he's got the desire and discipline to do so, now those are the ingredients we can't give anybody. We can give them the know-how and the knowledge, you know, of how to do it. But yeah. Most people will take this program and they get them, use it for 5 or 6 weeks. It's too fucking hard, so they'll make up an excuse that shit don't work. You know, and they'll go back to their own way of doing it. They do it here, you know, right here, to where all of us have made gains on this same program. We've got dumbasses out there. It's too hard for them, okay? They start getting down to them fives and sixes where they're busting guts to get those reps, you know. Now, that's too hard. Well, they changed up. John Panus changed up. His excuse was he wanted to add more endurance to his money. Well, fine. If he wants endurance, then you're out there and do it. If he wants muscle size, he's going to have to bust his ass. You know? And most people ain't going to do that. But we give them the know-how. And we'll give them the know-how through this book, too, whether they use it or not. Supplements, very, very important. They make the body more efficient.
What about getting big, though, just your basic eating, though, not just supplements?
Okay, for a guy that has a problem gaining weight, in my opinion, fat will come off, okay? Fat will always come off of diet, all right? So a guy that's really willing to put on some size and gain some strength should eat everything he can get his hands on. A guy with fast metabolism and There's nothing wrong. Only thing wrong with him going and eating the cheeseburgers, he don't eat three of them, okay? If he wants pecan pie, let him have the whole pie. You know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Sure, he's going to put a little extra inches around his waist, but if he puts on 2 inches around his waist and 6 inches around his chest, who gives a flying shit, you know, really? When he diets off, he'll lose that 2 inches off his waist and only 2 off his chest. So he's left with 4 inch gain on his chest, okay? For meaning like that, okay? But now you take from the other side of the coin, a guy that, you know, has a slow metabolism, that gains weight looking at food, you know, he's going to have to follow a diet all the way through his program sometime. Supplements allow you to eat junkier, though, than a person that doesn't, excuse me, that's not taking. So, in other words, if you're taking a good variety of amino acids and supplements, they tend to use that junky food and turn them into muscle for you. Okay, a lot easier. This makes the body
more efficient.
More efficient, exactly. It's like burning premium gas in your car and burning low octane regular. Okay, you know, spit sputter. You know, on that premium, you know, it takes off maybe at 5-6 more miles a gallon, and it probably runs faster too. So, you know, your body's the same way. Using all these vitamins and minerals, and in my opinion, you should really load, your body up with these things.
So you take a good mega pack maybe, and a good amino acid supplement.
Yeah, everything that you take, it may get wasted, you may piss it out, but at least it's there if the body needs it. Okay, we
can't more store than not enough.
Exactly, we can't store protein. We can't store all this stuff, so when the body calls on it, if it's not there, it takes it away from something else, or nothing happens, okay? It's just like building that house out there with no nails. Put boards up all day long, hammer, but nothing's going to stay together because there's nothing there to hold it together. And those vitamins, minerals, amino acids are what holds that body together.
Okay.
And that's a fact, Jack. It sets you back forever. This book here is how to build, is how to get big, okay? And the 4-week phase, you know, after this 10-week cycle, okay, the four week phase is just a phase to break monotony, try something different, maybe even take a week off even, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Give the body a break, give it something different, you know. Have a good time for 4 to 6 weeks. You know, just take off and have a good time. Do regular bodybuilding movements. Try something new. These exercises that I've given here are exercises that have worked best for me. Okay, everybody's muscle tie-ins are different. What necessarily works for me won't work for you. It's a good time to experiment. You know, those 6 weeks. Assess your physique. What's weak now? You know. The chest is down, the shoulders are down, the thighs are down. Everybody should shoot for symmetrical physique, okay? And what that means is you should have at least a 10-inch drop from chest to waist. Biceps and calves and neck should all be the same size. There should be a 5-7-inch drop from shoulders to chest. The thighs should be 10 inches bigger than the calves, okay? Take those measurements, all right? And measure your physique and see where you're weak. There's 6 weeks that you can bomb a body for and bring it back up. Okay. You know, maybe you want to cut that 6 weeks. Maybe you built all this mass. Okay. And then you want to go in and cut the muscles up to make them a freak. But the light day training is going to be doing that anyway. Okay. But you can add some different exercises. Don't do the same exercises. Let's say Wednesday, Thursday and Friday are a light day. It's the ones that we're really bodybuilding, really, okay? Bodybuilding movements. Okay, let's say that you're really more interested in bodybuilding now that you've built this extra mass. Now you've gained 15, 20 pounds off this 10-week cycle, okay? Let's say you've gained that, now you want to cut it up. Take 6 weeks, move your heavy day training just like your Thursday, Friday training, okay? And get an aerobic effect out of it, okay? Get that heart rate up. You know, work the heart. Work on living longer. You know, get the from that extra mass that you gain from training like this, you know, your blood pressure may be on the line. So let's work on the cardiovascular part of our bodies for 6 weeks, okay? And get that heart rate back and cut up the mass that we built in that time. In my opinion, a beginner or intermediate would do well to do 3 of these cycles, basically back to back. Take 2 weeks off after one and go right back in the other. Your advanced lifters, okay, can do a 10-week cycle like this and then take 6 weeks off and do something else and then go back and do it again and still continue to grow. The problem with weightlifting is it's repetitious, okay? And anything we can do to take the boredom out of it and doing the same thing over and over is good for us, okay? Take that 6 weeks and design yourself up a program for weak body parts in here, okay? The workout that we've done here is basic movements and it adds overall basic muscle mass and density to the body, okay? Which is basically what everybody wants when they come in. We can do, you know, another segment on diet, and we can do another segment on cutting the physique down. You know, we can do a segment on a fat person that needs to lose weight and tone up. But this one is about gaining muscle mass. And this program right here will do it. Okay, now if it's too short, you know, we'll come up with some bullshit and add some more stuff in there.
Okay.
But basically, it's simple, you know.
Can I kind of insert some of that psychological hogwash shit that we put in there last time?
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, the design discipline is something we're talking about anyway.
Okay.
You know, that's a big part of it. Very few people will do this for a different reason behind when they do it. Okay? Maybe it's a family reunion that's coming up next year. Maybe it's a class reunion that's coming up 2 years from now. They want to go back, you know, and have an impressive physique, you know, for these people. There is an X factor in everybody's reason for doing this, okay? And nobody comes in here and busts their ass and bleeds and everything for no reason. There's a reason somewhere. And most people won't tell you what that reason is. But find that reason. Find a good reason. Find several reasons and use those to stay with your program. You know, mm-hmm. That's very important. If it was easy, everybody would do it. You know? And most people are going to look at this program right here and they're going to say, okay, I've got heavy day up here. I've got chest. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 exercises for heavy day. And I'm training chest, shoulders, and triceps. That's not enough. That just ain't enough. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do that. The Scott Wilson in his workout in Muscle Fitness said do 20 sets. That's what I'm going to do because I want to look like that. But Scott Wilson didn't do that shit
to get where he's at.
Right. He might have done that to cut up for that physique. Now, if we're cutting up, we're talking about doing 15, 20 sets.
We're talking about a whole different program.
Exactly. This right here was gaining muscle mass. Eat everything you get your hands on for the guys that have the slow metabolism, the fast metabolism. Eat everything you get your hands on. Train heavy, get in the gym, do your thing, and get the hell out. You know, if you're spending over 2 hours in the gym, you're either mobbing too much or you're wasting time. And actually, that should come back to an hour and a half. You should be able to get your workout in an hour and a half. And your heavy days, when you're taking that much rest in between sets, you may spend 2 hours, you know. But on these live days down here, we're supersetting and stuff. If you're spending over an hour and a half to 2 hours in the gym, you're either overtraining, you're mouthing, or you ain't doing any good anyway. That's true.
That seminar you had before my brother ever came down here with Ken Adcon, you started out talking about the same thing here.
Right. What I've done here is basically added. So there's a program. Okay, to where you can go. We can hit all three components of a muscle cell in every training. Okay.
Yeah.
We can take 2 sets of bench presses. We go immediately into the heavy weights for 2 sets of heavy. That is the myofibular part. Then we back it down. We're talking about 6 to 8 reps.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go 2 sets of moderate for 2 sets of 12 to 15 reps. Then we go 2 sets slow continuous tension, which is what we're talking about down here in the live days, for 25 to 30 reps.
And how much rest in between? Each set.
Well, on your heavy sets, of course, you're going to have to rest, you know, five to eight minutes.
Okay, but you don't really think that'll give as much increase to their sides as what you've been talking about this whole hour here?
Well, this will drill as much, yeah, it'll give as much increase to size. It will, but see, basically, we're training the same way here, with the exception that we're doing these heavy weighs right here on our three first heavy days, okay? And then we're doing moderate and slow continuous teaching on supersets down here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's more so we're hitting the 10 rep range, and see, here it says slow continuous in 25 to 30 reps.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're doing that in CAS, you know, because we're going from one superset nonstop. We're doing it in the legs on light day. We're doing leg presses. We're doing leg presses and
so you are hitting that.
We are hitting all
from three directions.
All three components of the muscle cell in a week. Okay,
but just in a different format.
The only problem, this will work. Okay, the only problem with this is it's boring. Okay, because you do the same damn thing over and over and over. Okay, you will get stronger doing it this way faster. Okay, you're stronger doing it this way faster. Plus, you're training entirely different at the end of the week.
Entirely
different.
Okay.
And it takes away, again, like I was telling you, boredom and monotony. It takes that part of it away.
Okay.
This is the said principle. Okay. Fred Atfield writes about this in his book.
How do you say it?
The said principle, specific adaption to imposed demands. Ain't that a mouthful? But he's hitting, you know, what he talks about is hitting all three components of the muscle cell.
And could you repeat those again? I never catch those names properly.
Three components of the muscle cell are the myofibular, mitochondria, and the sarcoplasm, okay? Then you got your vascular bed on top of that, which can add as much as another 10%, which we talked about earlier.
But each one probably accounts for 33%.
Each one accounts as much as 33% of a muscle's total size, okay?
And we're hitting all three of them, so we're talking about 100% growth here, right?
But we're talking the basic growth is the fibular part, the fibers themselves, okay? See, let's say the fibular part accounts for as much as 33% of a total muscle size, okay? Well, that doesn't mean that by training this way, we're only going to get 33% more bigger, okay? That training like this right here, we can get 50% bigger, but we can still add 33% more to that by training in these other two methods. See what I'm saying? This will be is 33% of the total muscle size. It's a never-ending cycle. Mm-hmm. It's like I was telling you a while ago, you know, we start out with a fiber like this when we're a kid. You know, we have fibers more like this, the weight training and growth and stuff. That's what increases the circumference of a muscle itself is this right here. It is the fibers, and those cells make up those fibers. But in these other two ways, we're hitting two other different components of the cell itself. Remember the old way, white fiber, red fiber? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was the old way to train. You had slow twitch and fast twitch fibers, okay? You trained your slow twitch fibers with high reps, you know, and then continuous tension. Trained your fast twitch with explosive heavy movements, okay? That's the way, there was only two ways to train, okay? Science has allowed us to find out that there's even another way to train, and that's in that moderate phase right in here, because there is three components to every cell, whether it be white fiber or red fiber, okay? And you're still hitting heavy and light, but you're also hitting moderate also.
Okay. And I guess get proper rest all the time too, huh?
The more rest you can get, the better. My opinion, 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night, to get maximum results out of the least amount of work, which is my whole philosophy. And anyway, I hate this bench press. The fibers and sand. You got space in there where you get your vascular bed, shit running through there, veins, nerves.
So if I include an illustration in this book to help these people understand what this training will do, I should draw it.
I just do just like that, right? And then talk about and put your fibers in there, just like we got. And you got a bone here, you know. You got all these fibers and shit, and you got a vascular bed running through here. You got little capillaries coming off like that right there. We can turn this capillary from this into that through slow, continuous tension, high rep training. You know? Then we can train. We can turn, like I say, a fiber that looks like this into a fiber like this right here through heavy training. No more than these will contract, as need be to move some amount of weight. In other words, let's say the maximum curl is 100 pounds, then only about half of these are going to contract to move forward.
Oh.